Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians 1. In verse 3, the Word of God said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Imagine this. He is the Father of mercies. All mercies originate with Him. If it comes from God, it is mercy. The Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or, if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. If you have problems, if you have tribulations, if you have suffering, then it is a fellowship of comfort. That's in Kittel. If you have sufferings, then it is a fellowship of comfort. It's not a fellowship of suffering. It's a fellowship of comfort. Now, the word comfort is the word paraklesios, and it means different than what we may necessarily think. While on the one hand, it does mean something as simple and straightforward as comfort or solace or what have you, it also means supplication, exhortation, admonition, encouragement, that which affords comfort and refreshment, and persuasive discourse. We don't think of comfort as persuasive discourse, but that's what comfort is. Comfort is persuasive discourse that affords encouragement. So when I go to a situation and I need comforting, I need to turn to the preaching of the Word of God. It's persuasive discourse. If I need comfort, what I need is persuasive discourse from the Word of God. That will become my source of comfort. It's like this. Where does the Word of God come from? Well, the Word of God says in Romans that it comes from preaching, right? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word. But the Word comes by preaching, because they can't hear unless there's a preacher. And so it's in the preaching that I receive comfort. You ever notice that you can read for 5 hours and you'll feel a little bit better, but you don't really receive any comfort? There's a reason for that. While the Bible reading itself is important to produce substance, preaching is important to produce faith. And in faith, I find comfort. So I may read for 2 hours, and yeah, I'll feel a little bit better, but it's not the comfort that I'm really looking for. What I'll find in preaching is that my faith is built and produced and developed, defined, and so on. I learn how to think with the Word of God in preaching, because preaching gives me categories of doctrine. Categories of doctrine are God's mind about the different categories of situations. So I have God's mind for my situation when I turn to preaching. It's one reason why we put our messages online, so that people will be able to access different categories of doctrine as they need them. God is the Father of all comforts. He comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. There is a purpose to whatever tribulation we're in. Please understand that. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what your tribulation. Doesn't matter. There is a purpose. There is no tribulation that possesses no purpose. All tribulation is purposeful. One of the reasons why we don't like tribulations is because we think it's without purpose. If you think suffering is without purpose, suffering will be brutally difficult. But it's also a wrong thought. Suffering is extraordinarily purposeful. Imagine, like Richard Wurmbrand said, if the only person who could ever choose his fate chose to suffer, what value did he see in it? It must have been immense. Why? Because it's extraordinarily purposeful. In Romans 8:29, we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That means that our purpose for even being alive is to be conformed into the character of God. How is that going to happen? By being a good guy? Good luck with that. You have an old sin nature. You're not a good guy and neither am I. There's no such thing as a good guy. Jesus said, no man is good, not one. And so why do I think that being a good guy is going to get me somewhere? Keep me out of a fist fight, maybe. But beyond that, with God at least, it doesn't get me anywhere. So what is it that gets me somewhere? Being conformed into the image of God's Son. Galatians 5:6 gives me a clue. It says, it's not by circumcision or uncircumcision. It's not by your religious works. It's not by your religious traditions. It's not by your religion at all. It's by faith that works by love. That's where you find real value. That's where you find things happening. You have faith that is energized. The word works is energeo in the original language. It means energized. Faith that is energized by the love of God makes me into a very effective Christian. There's plenty of people who are religious as all get out who are just wicked as can be. But it's not about that. It's about faith that works by love. So if I have faith that works by love, which comes by hearing of the Word of God, then I'm going to have a source of comfort. Then I'll enter into my purpose. What's the purpose? To be conformed to the character of God. Okay, so tribulation comes. Let's go back to Romans 5:3-5. Tribulation comes, and the first effect of tribulation is that it produces the first characteristic of God's love in my heart. That's patience in 1 Corinthians 13:4 and John 4:8. And so, God is love. The first characteristic of love is patience. Tribulation produces patience. And now I have a situation where I'm being conformed into the image of God's Son. If you have tribulations, you are being conformed to the image of God's Son. Period. That's why they are there. If you don't have tribulations, God can't trust you with tribulations because you have no capacity. And if you don't have the capacity for it, God won't bring it. And so God can trust you with tribulations. That means He'll bring tribulations. And then the tribulations do their effective work in our hearts. They conform us to the image of His Son. We respond to tribulations emotionally. And so we see them negatively because if I'm responding to tribulation emotionally, I'm looking at it by sight with natural thinking. And of course, that's not going to do me any favors. That's always going to produce the wrong thought. But if I look at tribulation the way that the Word of God defines tribulation, then I'll first realize that not only is it not a negative thing, while the thing itself may be difficult, it's a very positive thing. The second thing I'll realize is that God deals with the tribulation for me, that I don't even have to fight those battles. And not having to fight those battles, I can totally relax in it. God fights my battles. Now, does that mean that I'm irresponsible? No, it doesn't. I mean, God still told David, get on the battlefield, prepare yourself, take your positions on the battlefield, but I'm the one who's going to give you the victory. And so I do what I need to do, but God gives me the victory. And so a person does not have to be afraid in their tribulations, because it's God who brought them for a specific purpose. Now it continues there, who comforts us in all tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. We have to understand the source of our comfort within the tribulations. Okay, it starts with the Word of God. And the Word of God provides me with answers. How does the Word of God provide me with answers? The Word of God is large. There's a lot of it. And sometimes maybe I don't know my way through it. Well, the reason is because you can't do it naturally. In John 16:13, it's the Holy Spirit that guides us in all truth. And so, it's not just that I have the Word of God. The letter of the Word isn't going to give me the comfort. It's the Word of God in the hands of the Holy Spirit that gives me the comfort. The Holy Spirit in me is going to take the Word that I received and He's going to apply it in my thinking to the circumstances of my life. When the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to the circumstances in my life, then I have comfort. Why? Because then I can think. One of the problems that people sometimes have is that they don't know how to tap into God's thoughts. In Lamentation 1:16, the Word of God says that for these things I weep. My eye runs down with water. In other words, I'm crying all the time because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because my enemy prevailed. If I don't know how to fellowship with the Spirit, or maybe if I'm sloppy, careless in my practices toward the Word of God, if I'm careless with my practices toward the Holy Spirit, if I don't have a precise life of applying doctrine, this is going to be hard. That's why we teach categorical doctrine. That's why we emphasize application of the Word of God. Don't just listen to it. Use it. So often people will hear the Word of God, they'll amen the Word of God, and then they just leave it be. What's the point of that? It's like going to the hardware store and you're building a house and you find a hammer that you need. And you look at the hammer, you pick it up, you try it out, you say, yeah, this is an awesome hammer. This will really help me. And then you leave it at the hardware store. What good does it do you? The only thing that will lead to is frustration. Oh man, I'm so stupid, I left it at the hardware store. Even paid for it. But Christians do that wholesale. We hear the Word of God. And then we leave it alone. What good does that do? No, you hear the Word of God, and in the details of your life, you apply the Word of God. That takes a little bit of work. That takes a little bit of academic mental discipline. It's not always hard, but at first you got to be a little disciplined with it. That takes a little bit of stepping back from natural thinking, from natural responses. And when the natural response wants to come, hey, that's not a God response, that's my own response. What does the Word of God say? What did I learn in church from categorical doctrine about this type of situation? If you can't remember, go to the online message library. Find it. Apply what you learn. Apply what you learn. Over here in Lamentations, he's saying, I didn't learn how to apply what I learned. And therefore, my comforter was far from me. That was the work of the enemy. Remember the parable of the sower? And how Satan comes and he takes the Word of God from people's hearts so that they can't apply it? If I learn to apply the Word of God, it'll help me. If the enemy is permitted to take it out, away from me, out of my heart, then I can't apply it. It's the work of the enemy. When that takes place, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. If I continue that way, I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit's been quenched, I'm not going to hear from him. In John 15:26, it says, when the Comforter is come, and the Comforter there is also from the same root, Paraclete, when he is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. If the Holy Spirit is testifying of Christ, then he is testifying of all the things that Christ does. Number one, Christ is the Word. So he's testifying of the Word of God. He's testifying of the finished work. He's testifying of the blood of Christ and all its impact. He's testifying of the life of God that we enjoy through the cross. He's testifying of all those things that are of Christ. That's the job of the Holy Spirit for the believer. When that takes place, I receive comfort. That's why he's called the Comforter. The things that the Holy Spirit does in my life, those are the things that bring me comfort. A common mistake that people make in some cases is that they don't rely strictly on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God for their comfort. They try to rely on somebody else. And in some cases, that may work for them on an emotional level. In other cases, it doesn't work for them at all. The problem is, it doesn't actually work at all, even if my emotions are appeased. Let's say that somebody is used to running to my dad. My dad has always had all the answers for me. My dad gets me. He knows how to talk to me. He can figure everything out. He knows exactly what to say to me, exactly when to say it. He's my dad. And I've developed this habit in a natural sort of a way to run to my dad. Dad, I got a problem. Dad, I need to make a decision. Dad, what should I do? And my dad tells me. He can become a source of comfort. Now, that is a problem for the believer. If they get into that kind of a habit. My dad, in a situation like that, can very easily replace God in my life. Now, I'll be comforted by him. Why? Because he's got all the answers. If he has all the answers, I don't have to have any of the responsibility. The pressure's not on me anymore. And that will provide an emotional sense of comfort. Well, I'm 35, I'm 45, 55 years old. I can run to my dad. And he'll give me the answers. And I don't have to have the responsibility of a relationship with God. I don't have to have the pressure of trying to make a decision because I'm a little bit nervous in my decisions, you know, because I'm not confident in my relationship with God. And I'm much more comfortable if that just calls the shots and just tells me what to do and I'll be okay. No, you won't. That's the problem. No, you won't. At that point, my emotions deceive me. Because Dad's not God. And God wants to be that comfort. Dad's not on the throne of my heart. God needs to be on the throne of my heart. If I put another person on the throne of my heart, number one, I have an idol. Number two, I have something extraordinarily unreliable. If I lean on the arm of the flesh, it says in 2 Kings 18, if I lean on the arm of the flesh, it'll pierce my hand like a spear. It's dangerous to do that. And so I don't depend on another person. And yes, I know it. First of all, I'm learning. It may be more comfortable as in my emotions are feel much more secure with another person because I don't trust my relationship to God. You know what? The problem is, and we say, I don't trust myself. The problem is, I don't trust God in it. I don't trust my relationship to him. I trust his relationship to me. I don't trust my response to him. I trust his initiation to me. I don't trust my ability to hear him. I trust his ability to speak to me. Your comfort is not sourced in you toward him. Your comfort is sourced in him toward you. If you get that backward, you won't have any comfort. And you'll have a lot of frustration because you're going to keep going doing it backward. No, it's all about what God is toward us. It's not about what we are toward God. It's about what he does. It's not about what we do. We simply rest. If I can simply rest, knowing the character of God is going to take care of it, going to guide me in all truth, here's one, going to order my steps. People have a hard time. It's so common. Christians have a hard time with decisions. Man, I knew a pastor. And when a situation came that he wasn't accustomed to, and he was a good pastor. Don't get me wrong. He's a good guy. But he had always relied on this one specific person for all his decisions. It was another pastor. He always relied on him. He would always go from the counselor and he'd say, what should I do? What do you think? What, you know? And the guy would always tell him, because he loved him. He was kind. He would always tell him, this is what you should do, and this is what I think you should. And he would do exactly that. But you know what? He never developed his own ability to make a decision with God. He never developed his ability to hear from God. He never developed his ability to receive counsel from God. He thought it was fine because it was in order as far as organization goes, but it was in total disorder as far as life goes. And so he never developed what was supposed to have been developed by the covering of that other pastor. He simply used them in place of God. Never use anyone in place of God. That's called idolatry. Your comfort is sourced in your relationship with God. That's the only place you can find it. It cannot be sourced in a relationship to people. Because if I try to source my comfort in a relationship to people, first thing God will do is separate me from them. Why? Because he needs to remove my idols. And then, he's going to force me into situations where I have to make decisions. And then he's going to teach me how to rely on him. Here's the thing, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you are a Christian, your steps are ordered by him. You can relax. You can completely relax. Here's the thing about the ordering of the steps. Sometimes we see things in a very temporal manner. But God says we need eternity in our hearts. If I see things in a temporal manner, I will see my life as a series of events, one following the other. Because that's the way I experience them. And though that may be the way I experience them, that's not what's actually happening. What happened is that God created the heavens and the earth, and Albert Einstein showed us that when he did that, he created all of time. And he populated all of time. That's that creation relativity principle. And when he populated all of time, since the works were finished, and that was the foundation of the world, that means that all the details of my life have already been established as God used everything about my life, including in Revelation 13:8, the blood of Christ, and all the rest of it, that is the finished work, to build the universe upon it, including the world, including me, including my details. There is no difference between past, present, and future. It's all happening right now. The foundation of it is the finished work. That includes my details. So when God says he orders your steps, it may appear to you like you are encountering one thing at a time, because you are operating in a very limited frame of reference here on earth, but in truth, it's already out there. It's not that you're not using your free volition, and you are. You're using it yesterday, you're using it today, you're using it tomorrow, but it's all the same thing. It's all existing now. And so your whole life is being ordered by God. And He is ordering those steps for you, even though you're using your free volition. So you don't have to be afraid. God orders your steps. As a matter of fact, they've already been ordered. The outcome is already in place. You just haven't reached it yet. If God had created the heavens and the earth, and He did, then there's nothing to be afraid of. You can completely relax, you can completely rest, you can be completely confident, because He's the originator of the finished work. The Word of God says in Psalm 23:4, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. The rod and the staff. Rod is the Word of God. Categories of doctrine. The Word of God comforts me. Staff is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now here's the difference. In Exodus 14:16, God said to Moses, lift up your rod. And then He did, and the Red Sea was parted. That was deliverance. So the rod is about deliverance. How do I get delivered by the rod? It's like this. What seems impossible is a matter of perception. If something looks impossible to me, it's a matter of perception. He says in Matthew 19:26 that nothing is impossible. There is no such thing as impossible. But it seems impossible to me in my perception. The Word of God will change my perceptions. And then nothing is impossible. And so Moses holds up the rod, a picture of the Word of God. And deliverance comes because the impossible takes place when the perceptions are right. On the other hand, you have Genesis 32:10 in the B part. With my staff, Jacob said, I pass over this Jordan. Okay, with my staff, I pass over the Jordan. The Jordan is a picture of resurrection life in typology. With my staff, I enter into resurrection life. What is the staff? The leading of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is my staff. In Joshua chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, when the Israelites crossed over the Jordan, they had to get their feet wet. Now, when they crossed over the Red Sea, they didn't have to get their feet wet. In the work of the Holy Spirit, I have to take a step of faith. In deliverance, it's purely the Word of God. But when I am being led by the Holy Spirit of God, I have to take a step of faith. So I got to get my feet wet. Now, they were only on the brim of the Jordan. But they did get their feet wet. And when they were willing to get their feet wet, in other words, even though it may appear impossible, they're willing to take a step of faith anyway. Only then, because it was the leading of the Holy Spirit, only then was the Jordan parted. In the case of Moses, it was deliverance. They didn't have the doctrine. God gave them the doctrine, and the doctrine delivered them. So God's rod, God's doctrine, the Word of God, and the leading of the Holy Spirit are my comfort. That's where comfort is found. Comfort is not found in daddy or anybody else. Comfort is not found in pastor, for that matter. Comfort is found in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's leading. That's comfort. That means that it requires faith. I have to trust God, and the only way that I'm going to trust God is if I learn His character. I may say I trust God, but what happens when the heat's turned up? Well, then I lose my mind. Well, then I'm not trusting God, am I? So guess what God's going to do? God's going to turn the heat up. Why? So that I would lose my mind. And once I lose my mind, I'll realize I'm not trusting Him. And then I'll run to His Word. Then I'll start getting built up in the Word of God because now I see my need for it. But I was good and religious all this time. Doesn't make a hill of beans a difference. I mean, think about it. I'm not knocking religions. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, if I simply live by traditions but I never get the Word of God, what good has it done me? One of the most common ones, for example, is communion. People think if they take communion, they're okay in some denominations. Communion doesn't make a hill of beans a difference if it's not with the right heart, if it's not right. Communion is done as a reminder. It's not done as any kind of a status with God. It's like this. You get a call from the doctor's office. Tuesday, you have an appointment. Don't forget. And you get a reminder. And now you say to yourself, I have real status with the doctor. No, it's not status with God. It's not any kind of standing with God. It's a reminder. What is it that gives me status with God? The only thing that benefits is faith that works by love. That's what profits me. Faith that works by love. Where does that faith come from? The Word of God. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. In other words, you don't live by your natural provisions, you live by the Word of God. But the word there is not logos, the proclaimed word. The word there is rhema, the Holy Spirit illuminated word to your heart, to your life. That's what you live by. And as you're listening to a message, the Holy Spirit is checking each heart and He's taking that message, and each person's going to walk away with something different today. That each person's going to walk away with something. Why? The Holy Spirit's in you. If you're saved, and I'm sure everybody here is. There's your comfort. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has quickened me. Your word has enlivened me, encouraged me. Psalm 94:19, in the magnitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul. Your comforts delight my emotions, my thoughts, my self-consciousness, my self-image. What I am aware of, your word brings delight to that. In Romans 15:4, God says, whatever things were written aforetime, and this is of course thereby talking about promises, were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we may have hope. And that word hope is elpis. It means confident expectation, that through your promises, we have confident expectation. If I have confident expectation, I don't just have comfort. I have anticipation. Remember when you were a kid and you were anticipating something like a trip to some amusement park or something? You were all excited. That's confident expectation. Confident expectation is not only comfortable. It can be exciting, it can be encouraging, it can be edifying. So you can actually have situations, and even though at one time you called them problems, you'll call them edifying once you learn to have your comfort in the right source. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept your gift. I accept your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.